I feel good. Oh, it must be contagious. Glad that I feel good about you being here. I feel good about all of us being together and worshiping God this morning. We're so thankful for those who have been struggling with illnesses who are able to be here with us. Know that if the doctors had just listened to us months ago, they would have known that Nancy needed a pacemaker. But it took them a little while to figure that one out. And we're glad that there's going to be a resolution to her health problem. I want you also to welcome Laura Wright, who's here this morning. Many of you know her already, but she, certainly her husband Dennis, passed away not long ago, and we're so thankful that she's here with us today. Have you ever started something that you didn't finish? You probably have some projects that you plan to complete when you get around to it. And this is around to it. If you can't read it, I think I can read it from here. This is a to it. Guard it with your life, as to its are hard to come by, especially the round ones. This is an indispensable item. It will help you become a more efficient worker. For years, more efficient worker. I'm going to have to come down here, read that thing.
My eyes aren't that good. Okay. For years, I'll do it as soon as I get around to it. Now that you have one, you can accomplish all those things you get around until you get around to it. If you don't have one at home, let me know and I'll email that one to you so that you can get it done. Many of you probably watch American Pickers. We enjoy that show. And many of the people who Mike and Frank pick have great intentions for many projects. Projects that they know and we know that they'll never get around to. Most of them are in reality hoarders who will die and leave all of their junk for their wife and or kids to dispose of. Although most of those projects will never be finished, they are not life or death matters. None of us want to be known as quitters, but there are some things that are certainly more important than others. And I think that you know as well as I do that there's one thing that's more important than anything else on earth, and this is to have staying power and being a faithful Christian. This daily decision, and it is a daily decision, is certainly of eternal consequence. And you probably know a number of people who began the Christian life and yet did not demonstrate staying power. In Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 20, the one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. You know, however one's beginning may be, a good ending is far more important. Now, we're not referring to an ending that the world might call good, but one that is good and pleasing to our God. Such as The life and works of Jesus would have been spoiled in the Garden of Gethsemane if he had not remained faithful to God. But he did. He had staying power. And certainly we need to follow his wonderful example. I want us to look this morning, though, at Demas. Demas did not have staying power. Let's look at his digression. In Philemon chapter, it only has one chapter, verses 23 through 24. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark and Aristarchus and Demas, Luke, my fellow workers. Paul was writing this letter somewhere between 60 and 62 AD. And certainly Demas is listed among some very faithful and hard workers. And then in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 14, Luke, the beloved physician, sends you his greetings and also Demas. This was also in the time frame somewhere around 60 to 62 AD. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 through 10, Paul writes, make every effort to come to me soon, for Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. So this was written around 66 to 67 AD. So somewhere in the area of 6 years, Demas had gone from being listed with some of the faithful Christians to now being listed as one who loved the present world and deserted Paul and deserted the gospel. Now, having loved this present world does not necessarily mean that he loved something or some things that were inherently evil, although it could certainly mean that. But it does mean that we are not to love anything more than God. We love our children, we love our parents, we love our friends, and yet our love for God is to be even greater than our love for family and friends. God loved us so much that he sacrificed his son for us, and we are to return that kind of love to our God. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, John wrote, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, then the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. In Mark chapter 10, verses 37 through 38, Jesus tells us that our love is to be greater than even our love for our family. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it. And he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. Certainly he's not talking about that we're not to love our families. Notice the saying there that he loves more than me. Our love for God, our love for Jesus Christ, our love for the church, and our love for the Spirit of God is to be greater than any love that we have on this earth. So what is staying power? Well, staying power is also associated with the experience of being captured by a cause, something which the one who is captured considers to be greater and more important than himself. It is one thing for a Christian to lay hold of some of the more comfortable aspects of the gospel. Yet it is quite another for him or to her to allow Christ to actually take hold of him or take over his life. Christ takes hold of you through your maturing faith. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul wrote, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me." We are to have that growing and that maturing faith. We are to allow Christ to live in us, to dwell in us, and the Spirit of God to dwell in us, so that we can do our Father's will. Again, Paul wrote in the book of Galatians in chapter 6, verses 14 through 17, "May it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither is circumcision anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation." That's what's most important, is a new creation in God, in Christ Jesus. "And those who will walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them, and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause trouble for me, for I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus." Paul was persecuted. Paul suffered a great deal for the cause of Jesus Christ. And you could see the marks on his body because of his belief in Jesus. Certainly we are to be faithful to our Lord Jesus Christ. So your growing faith causes you to have growing confidence in all of the promises of God. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, Jesus said, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 through 6, "Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, 'I will never desert you, nor will ever forsake you.' So that we confidently say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me?'" In another rather lengthy reading in 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 8 all the way through verse 14, "Do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God." As was said earlier, that's the power that we have, is from God, from Jesus Christ. It's not our own power. "Who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Not everything that we have, not everything that we face in life is going to be what we think is good. But God will pull all of those things together when we live a faithful, a righteous life, and we'll make it good. There's nothing better than looking forward to living with God and Christ and the Spirit for all eternity. So who had staying power? Well, all you have to do is read Hebrews chapter 11, what's commonly referred to as the roll call of the faithful. And you see how many people were listed that were faithful to God. And that's just a small portion. There have been people from all generations that have been faithful to God. And certainly we are thankful for their example. And that helps us and encourages us to do the very same. You think of the apostles, with the exception of Judas. Certainly they were faithful until the very end. You think of Saul, or Paul, whom we've been talking about this morning. He had many reasons to quit, but he did not. You think of John Mark, who left Paul and Barnabas on the first missionary journey. It would have been easy for him to have quit, but he didn't quit. Later on, he became the right-hand man of Paul. You think of those who were severely persecuted and or killed under the rule of Nero in Rome. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 says, "Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, so that you will be tested, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Now here's the key. He says, "Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." Wouldn't it be terrible to live the Christian life for a long period of time and yet, as our life ends, to quit? In Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, "When the Lamb broke the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and because of the testimony which they have maintained. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'O Lord, how long, holy and true one, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth?'" These were people that had already been killed. It says their souls had been slain. They were crying out to God, "Bring peace. Cause Nero and others to quit persecuting Christians." And yet it was not quite time in the time frame of God. But most importantly, think of Jesus Christ. John said in John chapter 1 and verse 29, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." In Luke chapter 22 and verse 42, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." That's the way that we have to live. We don't know what is facing us in the present, in the future, what things may change. But God's will is to be done, and we need to acknowledge that we're in his hands. We know that he will care for us. Then in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 and 21, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be or to become sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Certainly, we are to be faithful. We are to be faithful not just today, not tomorrow, but for the remainder of our lives. I hope and pray that you have that staying power, that you're willing to be faithful unto God no matter what comes. I pray that you will be the one with the staying power and see God and be with God in heaven for all eternity. If there's anyone here this morning who needs to respond to the invitation of our Lord, we hope that you will take this opportunity to do so. We hope and pray that each one in this audience is a Christian, but there may be some who are not and need to become Christians, need to be baptized into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If there are some who need our prayers, our encouragement, and the forgiveness of our Father in heaven, we pray that you will come, get your life right, have that staying power until the very end. Won't you come while we stand and sing?